Okay, well, if you have your Bibles with you, then we are doing some teaching in Ephesians. Yeah. So we're gonna be in Ephesians chapter 5 today. So again, if you get your Bibles with you, that'd be really good. Oh. See if I can get my technology to work. That would help. So Ephesians chapter 5, and reading from verse 1. So if I could just... good. Right. Good news. I've actually got my notes. That's helpful. Okay. So let's read from the Word of God. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, but because of such things, because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk in wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we want to pray that today as we think about it and as we take time to dwell upon your word, that it would bring life to our lives. It would bring light to our path. It would bring hope to our spirits. And it would bring illumination and understanding to our minds, so that we would be able to leave from this place, having looked at ourselves like one that looks in a mirror and seen what we're really like, and being able to go away and do something about it. Not being those who just simply see and then go away and forget, but those who truly can see how things really are and then are able to deal with them. Lord, would you do this, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, just a word of recap for those of us who have been around for a while, and for those of you who are visiting with us, it's probably quite good just to be aware of the fact that the letter to the church in Ephesus was written to a church which was really... in many ways doing incredibly well. It was a church that was planted around AD 60, so about sort of 30 years after the death and resurrection of Christ. And by the time it got to AD 110, in other words, another sort of 50 years on after that, what happened was that the reports that are given by secular historians were these, that actually by that time, this church had not only swept through the whole of Ephesus, the city that they were part of, but that the gospel and that the impact of the gospel had swept out into the area, the region that they were part of, which was a huge area within that part of kind of the that part of I'm going to say Asia Minor. There you go, that's where it's from. And so, and the thing that we've been thinking about over the last few, well, really over the last kind of few months now, is we've been asking the question, what is it that the Ephesians were doing that had such a profound impact on their city and on their nation? Because as we think about it, and as we think about who we are and where we are and what we want to do, we're looking at it and we're thinking, you know, what we want to do is we want to see an impact on White Inch and in Glasgow and in Scotland. And what do we need to understand? What do we need to kind of get a hold of if we are going to be able to see these things happen? What kind of church do we need to be that would be a replication of the Ephesian church that would allow us to be able to make the kind of progress that they made over that period of time? It's an incredible thing to kind of hear the stories of what God can do and to just be drawn up into that. I want to talk a wee bit about, I'll come back to this in a minute, but in more detail, but I'm going to tell in a minute a story about someone that many of us know about, a lady called Heidi Baker. I've spoken about her before. And Heidi and Roland Baker are missionaries in Mozambique. And last June, when we were there to visit them, we visited them. Now, you have to understand, Mozambique is a predominantly Muslim country. 98% were Muslim or animist, in other words, local folk religion, up till 8 months, 8 years ago, okay? So they moved into the area in 2003. And at that point, 98% of the people were Muslim animist, all right? Now, the area that they were part of was 1.6 million people. All right, just to give you some sort of perspective on the size of the place that they moved into, Capo Delgado, that region. And last June, we heard from them that the regional governor, the provincial governor for Capo Delgado, had declared that 50% of the population were now Christian. 1.6 million people, 8 years in northern Mozambique. This is a story today of what happened in Ephesus all these years ago. It's the same story that's happening again and again. And we ask ourselves the question, what was it that actually was going on there? And what is it that's going on just now in Mozambique that is having such a profound effect? And what could we therefore do that would actually see that happening here? Okay, so it's an interesting question, and it's an interesting book. So what Paul was doing when he wrote to the Ephesians was, he wasn't telling them off. He wasn't saying, oh, I wish you wouldn't do that, or I wish you would do this. Or he was just simply laying down the foundations of what it was that they were about and what they were trying to do. So it's a very interesting and helpful book for us as we think about our context and our situation. Here's the essence of what this passage is about. I'm not going to preach for too long because we've got all these testimonies and people, you know, doing their thing later on. So I'm not going to preach for too long today, but here's the essence of the thing. The essence of this passage is this. It is this, that actually, if you want to make an impact on your community and on your city and on your nation, then you need to be an imitator of God. You actually need to live your life in such a way that it is so much like Jesus, who is the one that we can see and understand and read about and imitate. It's so like Jesus that actually people are completely blown away by it. That's the essence of what this is about. It's an interesting passage because actually when you read it, What it talks a lot about is don't do this, don't do this, don't do that, don't do the next thing. But the essence of the passage is, and that's part of what it's saying, there's no question about that, but the essence of the passage is this. If you want to make an impact on White Inch, on Glasgow, and in Scotland, then you need to live your life entirely like Jesus. You need to start imitating him. You need to start allowing that to be the thing that you do, the way that you live, and that will have two effects on us. One, it'll have the effect of actually switching us on to life and life in all its fullness. And it'll have the effect of switching us off from the stuff that actually the world would say is important and actually will give you some satisfaction, but the Bible teaches is fleeting and passing and actually will only be of satisfaction temporarily. And what this passage is saying is this: if you live your life full on for God, you will make an impact on you, Huayinch, and on Glasgow, and on the world. Let me come back to Heidi Baker again. What do we learn from going and visiting someone like Heidi Baker and Roland Baker and the folks that are there? We learn this, that they actually live their life by a very simple philosophy, and that is, whatever you want, God, I'm up for it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. They talk about, I'm willing to go lower still, Lord, so that you might be lifted higher. I'm willing to lay down my life so that the life of Christ in me would become more and more and more. That's actually what you see as you kind of go and visit. This is a lady that some of us know and have visited, and she's flesh and blood. You know, she's just like you and me. She's just normal, and yet she's somebody who has seen blind eyes open, changing the cataracts of the grey cataracts from grey to kind of, from grey to brown, and actually seeing eyes open. And there are testimony after testimony after testimony, documented testimonies by the medics, not by folks who don't know what they're talking about, people who aren't actually Christians who go because they want to disprove it and come back sort of saying, I can't understand what's going on. And not only have they seen that, but they've seen people who were dead and who have been raised from life to life. They've seen these things. It's they're now counting in the tens. I think there are we passed sort of 60 odd stories of people throughout the whole network of the IRIS have now been planting, the churches that have been planting, where they actually come and they're involved in seeing people come back to life. And we just think, how is that possible? Is that possible? And yet, the Bible speaks about it again and again. The stories of Jesus talks about the fact that he raised people from the dead. He was raised from the dead. And he says, you will do even greater things than these, than the things I have done. And that's what they're seeing. had a ludicrous, had a rather silly moment when we were there last time, where the first year's Roland Baker, who has a very funny sense of humor, he's actually going to be in Glasgow this week at Elam. If you're not got anything else to do on Thursday, then please go along. He's fantastic. He was sitting down and he was sort of, he has quite an interesting sense of humor. And he sort of said, yeah, this year's first year of the Bible school is not very good. It's only got 7 people that have raised people from the dead in it. Only 7, and at which point we're all just laughing and going, yeah, whatever. They're seeing 200 churches planted every month. How do you plant 200 churches every month? Well, the answer is you raise up people, you teach them how to be pastors, and you send them out and you go and do the stuff. And week by week, they're seeing churches planted every single month. That's what's happening. And that's how you get to 50% of the population coming to faith in 8 years. Now, why am I focusing on that? Why am I taking time to think about that? It's this that actually we aspire to see our city transformed by the kingdom of God. We want to see people's lives changed. You heard some of the stories already of circumstances and lives changed. You're going to hear more stories about that today. And actually, we believe that this stuff works. We can see it. We know that it's true. That's why we're so passionate about it. That's why we're going to go in for this stuff. But it's only achievable if we make a choice. And that's what the Ephesians passage is talking about. And the choice is this: you can either live your life as imitators of God, full on for him, or you can have this other stuff. But if you have this other stuff, you have to understand that you will be missing out on what God wants, and you will be diverting yourself from the purposes and plans that God has for your life. Do you know, it's an interesting question to ask. If we only had 1 year left to live, what would we do and how would we live it? Isn't that an interesting question just to take a moment or two to think about? And if you knew, right, after a year, that's it. You know, I don't know. Someone's going to come around and shoot you. I don't know. Anyway, ridiculous. Doesn't matter. After a year, that's it. That's all that you've got. How would you change the way that you live? What is it that you would actually adjust? What is it that you would change in your life? What would you do differently if you knew, I've only got a year to live, so I'm going to live it? What would you do? You see, this passage is saying it's time for you to live. It's time for you to be imitators of God. It's time for you to experience everything that God has got for you. Let go of the rubbish. Let go of the stuff that actually isn't going to lead you to life in all its fullness. It isn't actually building in silver and gold for eternity. It is so easy for us to drift our way through life. That's why it says in the middle of the passage, "Wake up, O sleeper! Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you." That's why it's saying, look, you know, don't just drift through life with all this stuff that seems to satisfy, but actually just pulls you off in a different direction. And actually, itself in itself, doesn't bring life, doesn't bring sustaining life, doesn't bring eternal life. We only have one life to live. And it's an interesting question. If we ask the question, you know, I only had 1 year to live, how would I adjust? How would I change what I'm doing? It really does change your priorities, doesn't it? It changes the way that you think about things. It changes the way that you look at what's going on. And the difficulty is that you know, most of us aren't in that situation. You know, praise God. You know, we have more than 1 year to live. And the fact of the matter is that actually, because we have more than 1 year to live, because we have all these other things to do, we don't live with the sharp, focused priorities that Paul was getting at when he was talking to the Ephesians. We don't, but I'm telling you this, that's exactly what it's like when you go out and you visit Heidi Baker in Mozambique. She's living her life, you know, and she doesn't necessarily think that it's a year that she's got to live. You know, sometimes there's people wandering about the place who, you know, who could actually quite easily shoot her. You know, they wander about with AK-47s. It's the only place in the world that's got a flag that still has an AK-47 on its crest. You know, Mozambique is a dangerous place. She has people outside guarding her house because she's been attacked. She's had folks shooting at her regularly. She knows, she actually believes, if you ask her, she'll tell you that she believes that she will be martyred for the gospel at one point. She knows that she's living with that. And we look at our life and we think, I'd love to see these things happening. I'd love to see people healed and saved, transformed, families reunited. How does that happen? How is that possible? It's possible by saying, I'm going to give myself completely to God. I'm going to give myself completely to his ways. I'm going to be an imitator of God. I'm going to live in the way that Jesus lived. And I'm not going to do anything else. And that's what Paul's, that's what Paul's encouraging us to. And he's saying to he said to the Ephesians, listen, anything else is idolatry. Anything else is actually going after other gods. Anything else is actually filling your life with other stuff. What we do, it's saying, you know, when you pursue these other things, when you pursue sexual immorality, when you pursue greed, when you pursue obscenity, all these other things, what you do is you're actually knocking God off the throne of your life. You're putting him aside and you're sort of saying, actually, he doesn't matter anymore. This matters more. And God is saying, you know, if that's what you live like and that's what you want to do, then you will get what you want. But let's be clear, what you want will actually not satisfy. What you want will not see you through an eternity with God. He's calling us to to take hold of the grace that we sang about, that we talked about earlier, to allow his grace, his love, undeserved love, to flow into our lives, and to almost to reorientate our lives to focus and to flow with him in the things that he wants. Talks about the fact that actually anyone who is, anyone, in verse 5 it says this, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of our God. And if we looked at that and we read it, then our hearts would sink, because we think, you know, I can't do that. I can't be like that. I know that there's stuff in my life that isn't right, but I can't get rid of it. It's like habitual sins and patterns that I just can't deal with. And I want to say that actually, we're not going to take time to do this today, but I do want to say a very simple thing, and that is this, that actually the breaking of habitual sin, particularly hidden habitual sin, particularly sexual hidden habitual sin, is something that is on the heart of the Lord for us as individuals and as a church. We're going to spend some time, not just now, but at another opportunity. We're going to give opportunities for folks to deal with the issues around, in particular, pornography and pornography addiction. It is a huge issue in life. It's a huge issue in the church. And actually, it is difficult to deal with because we don't talk about it. And we don't actually bring it out to the light. But Jesus said, bring it into the light. The light is one of the greatest antiseptics. It will deal with this stuff. So at some point in the next kind of month or two, we're going to offer the opportunity to do some stuff that will actually kind of address this, not in the Sunday context, but in other places. And I think that will really make a difference for a lot of us who are willing to say, this is an issue and we're going to deal with this. Today is an invitation, though, and this passage is an invitation to be imitators of God, to live life in all its fullness, to make that choice that says, you know, I don't know how many years I have left, but I am going to make sure that actually I am going to start orientating my life around the things that actually will count for eternity, that will last forever. I'm going to say, you know, let's put these other lesser things aside and take hold of what God actually has for us, because only then will we have this. We will then discover what it is to live life and life in all its fullness, what it is to live life with such a vibrancy, such a dynamism, that actually our community, our city, and our nation are transformed. It is possible. It was possible for the church in Ephesus. It is happening at the moment in Mozambique, and indeed in a number of other places as well. And let's just say very clearly, it is possible in White Inch. It is possible in Glasgow, and it is possible in Scotland. We believe that actually this is what we're here to do. This is what our life's mission is, to see people's lives transformed by the grace of God in the same way that we have experienced it. We have something wonderful to offer, and that's what God wants to do here amongst us just now. Let's pray. Oh God, if people only knew our secret thoughts, our secret attitudes, our secret activities, then we would be so ashamed. We would run from this place. Oh God, you know our secret thoughts, our secret attitudes, and our secret activities. There's nothing hidden from you, God. And God, the world would tell us that we should turn in shame as well. Thank you, God, that that's not how you look at us. That's not how you deal with us. Thank you that you draw us, you call us up higher. You say, leave behind these lesser things and enter into new life. Experience the grace of God, the love of God that transforms us, that just washes away our sins so that we can enter into that life in all its fullness that you want us to. Lord, how we long to see our lives changed so that when we live our lives, our children, our parents, our family, our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, so that all of these people would actually look and say, your life is amazing. Tell me what it's about. And we would be able to say, we're just following after Jesus. It's him that's changed our lives. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for speaking hope and life into us today. Thank you for inviting us once more into that the great adventure that you are calling us to join in with. Thank you, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to flow now with you and with you and to do what you have called us to. Imitators of God. People who live life like Jesus. Thank you that it's possible. We ask that you just help us to do that now. For we ask it in Jesus' name.